Welcome to the Good Grief Conversation. I'm your host, Janet Jones, and you're listening to UK Health Radio. This programme brings you honest, gritty, emotional and inspiring conversation around a subject that affects all of us, yet is still very much taboo. So join me now for this inspiring Good Grief Conversation. Today's conversation has sensitive content in it, as my guest, Laura Stack, very tragically lost her 19-year-old son to suicide. And this was brought on because of his addiction to high-potency marijuana. Now, if you don't know what that is and you have teenage children, then this conversation is really worth listening to. If you would like to support the Good Grief Conversation, then I always ask my guests if they would leave a little gift for you, and those gifts get put into what we call the podcast extras. Now, they are free, but to help me to keep this conversation going, I've created it so that you could put a little donation in there, either for the price of a paperback or the price of a hardback. And that would really help me to keep these very important conversations going. So just go to www.thegoodgriefconversation.com if you would like to help. Now, today's conversation, well, it wasn't an easy one. And I know that sharing these stories, well, it can be hard to take, but in sharing our stories, it connects us and it eases our own pains as we travel through life's challenges. And it also, hearing other people's stories can shine a light on our path to greater joy and happiness. I also believe that hearing other people's stories, when it connects us, it makes us more compassionate, helps us to be more understanding. And the more we hear stories, the more we realize that you actually can't see someone else's story. So you never know what somebody is actually going through. So the more we know, the more compassionate we can be. Now, today's guest, Laura Stack, she is an incredible woman, the kind of woman that you would want to emulate, you know, if you're a career kind of person. She lives this amazing life. She lives over in Colorado in America, and she's a best-selling author of multiple books. She's a public speaker. She calls herself a serial entrepreneur. She runs several successful businesses until one day, the knock at the door came that changed Laura's life forever. So sit tight, listen, because here is Laura Stack. Laura, thank you for joining me on the Good Grief Conversation. You're an amazing woman, and I wish that we were meeting under different circumstances. And we amazingly have many people in connection. So our paths were going to cross one day, but it is really sad that it has crossed on this day. We'll come to that one in a moment. First of all, I would like to talk about who Laura Stack is. You are the productivity pro, and you are an author of many books, best-selling author, in fact, and you are a keynote speaker, businesswoman. I mean, basically, it sounds like you've got life sorted. Until one day there's that horrible call. So let's go there. Let's talk about that horrible call.
Sure. Yeah, no, I've been in business nearly 28 years and flown 2 million miles and given thousands of speeches, and my life was humming along. And they get the knock on the door one night, and it actually started with a phone call because I didn't hear the door and my cell phone rang. Was just after 1 a.m. in the morning, and the caller ID said Douglas County Sheriff's Office, And I thought, oh boy. I answered it. I said, hello, this is Laura. And he said, ma'am, this is the Douglas County Sheriff's Office, and I'm at your front door. Will you let me in, please? And I said, with a slight annoyance in my voice, do you have Johnny with you? And he said, no, ma'am, I do not. And I kind of felt a cold rush through my veins, and I hung up and shook my husband and said, it's Johnny. The cops are at the door. And we threw on our robes and went down, let them in. And there was a woman standing with the police officer, dressed in black, carrying a bag. And I instinctively knew that we needed to sit down. And she said, I'm sorry to inform you that your son is deceased. And it just hits you like you can't believe you're even hearing that. And I thought, and I said to her, it's kind of a crazy question coming out of my mouth. The first thing I said is, what do you mean deceased? Which is kind of a dumb question, because of course I know what she meant, but I wanted to understand what she said. Ma'am, Johnny is dead. He jumped off a 6-story building. So that was the beginning of the journey. And I, you know, started screaming and crying and threw myself into my husband's arms. And they had to ask us a lot of questions at that point, because we needed to make decisions about organ donation and cremation. You know, there were just suddenly a lot of things they needed to know. The investigation, was he mentally ill?
Yeah, many, many, many things that sort of take you away, like down this river that you never intended to go down. It's a crazy, crazy time. You know, obviously there's the shock period, and then, you know, we deal with all that list that we were just talking about. You deal with all of that, and then eventually, you know, reality then has hit. And I just wondered, you know, as the productivity pro, kind of how that helped you, or if it did, or if it didn't help you with piecing things back together again.
Well, I think more than most, I managed my time well, and there were so many things at that point that needed to be done, but I was strangely paralyzed. I have not experienced grief before. I've never really lost anyone. My parents are alive and didn't lose any friends. Lost grandparents, but they were very old. And this was, you know, the first real death that I had experienced, you know, that was immediate family. And so the feelings of grief were new to me. And I thought I could just kind of press through them, but very quickly learned the value of delegating and getting help. We are blessed to know many, many people, and they all moved into action, and meals arrived, and flowers were ordered, and video collages were done, and our friends and loved ones just rallied around us to get everything done. And I still had to function kind of as the project manager, so to speak, coordinating with the church and the pastor and who was going to speak at the memorial service. And so those first few weeks were just a blur. I was unable to really sleep and function for the first week. So I had to go to the doctor to get some medication to help me with that. And I would finally sleep, but wake up, you know, and instantly start crying again. So it was a pretty rough time. I do think being able to focus on other things, though, distract myself for periods of time actually was helpful.
Just to give you a break, give your brain a break.
Yeah, you're not in a fetal position in your bed crying.
Yeah, I spent a lot of time in that position. So would you, you know, with Johnny taking his life, and tragically, once you become a member of this club, you realize actually how many young people do take their life. And it's the saddest, saddest thing. How did you feel as Johnny's mom? And I have a candle lit for him here, by the way. So Johnny is here. How did you feel as his mom, with the guilt and maybe the what ifs and if only, and How did that play out for you? Did it or didn't it?
Well, I mean, he's only been gone for 6 months, so we still do that. We have probably run through 200 scenarios of why didn't we do this, or when this happened, we should have done this. And I think that is, you know, at first I felt horrible guilt around just not protecting him, you know, as his mom. But, you know, it's shifted somewhat with a lot of help, therapy, support groups, you know, talking with a lot of people who have traveled this journey. But, you know, I think we all have things that we would have done differently in our lives. You know, even with my two living children, you know, I look back and think, oh, you know, that didn't go as well as I wanted, or I wish I would have made a different decision. But, you know, I made the best decisions I could at the time. Ours was complicated by drug abuse and mental illness and a lot of just toxicity. You know, the previous 5 years had been very difficult with Johnny. And so there was a sense of, you know, I did everything I could. I feel like I did.
And Laura, I'm sure you did, because we always do what we feel is right at that moment in time. And that moment in time is the only moment that we've got. And we're all really good at beating ourselves up.
Well, sure. I mean, hindsight, anybody can say, oh, well, clearly that was a bad move, right? And we've done that. I've reframed it, though. I don't feel guilty. I have regrets. You know, I have regrets of things that maybe would have worked. But you know what? Maybe they wouldn't have. You know, and there's no real way. I actually think that he lived longer than he would have. He had a couple previous times and a previous suicide attempt, actually. But, you know, many hospital stays and programs and brain treatments. We tried so many medicines and doctors and therapies, and I think he probably would have passed sooner than he did. You know, he made it almost to 20 years old, you know, without the love and attention and the effort. So
I'm sure you did the best. You gave everything that you could in that moment in time, didn't you? That, you know, what else can you do?
And I wasn't, you know, none of us are perfect parents. And there are times that I wish I would have communicated differently or done something differently, but I'm human. And in that moment, I didn't. And so it is, I think it would have probably had the same outcome. Because he was very sick and refused to take the medications that he needed. And so I don't feel responsible for his death. I didn't put drugs down his throat. You know, I didn't make his choices. And ultimately, we can't control other human beings. And he made some poor decisions. And he paid for it with his life. And that's, you know, why should I pile more guilt on myself for that?
And he wouldn't want you to do that either. And that's what we have to always remember, isn't it? That they wouldn't want that for us.
No, he tried, made sure to reconcile, you know, the first few days before he died. So I know he wouldn't have wanted that.
It takes enormous strength then to keep going and to grow through life, which is, well, I believe is what we're here to do, is growing from our experiences. And this is a tough one to grow from. I remember a while back, you were about to be interviewed on someone else's broadcast, and you asked me if I had any questions. Mm. And I sent a question to you. I was saying that I'm just going to read it from the Facebook message. I said, I've had a challenging day today that I woke with sadness and it's prevailed. I just couldn't shake it off that day. Though I've achieved one or two things, but focus is out of the window. And I asked you, what do you do on days like these?
Well, you know, I always say to forge ahead despite your grief and give meaning to your loss. I have been using that mantra, and when my kids were young and had problems with school or friends or whatever their situations were, I would just tell them, you know what, just stick your chest out, smile, and put your head down and move forward. And I would just tell them, just bowl ahead and just act as if, you know, that you're going to be okay. And you have to use confidence in your own mind. And that's largely what I do. I just say, you know what, I am going to move ahead. And I don't ignore my pain. I have plenty of times where I just break down and cry or allow myself to watch some videos if I'm feeling sad. And then I go, all right, well, that's enough of that. And I try to give myself the same advice I always gave the kids. Put your head down, go, just push forward. And I think it does help to throw yourself into your work. I think having something meaningful.
Or gardening, or I guess it's something that is going to occupy your mind.
Yeah, because, you know, I could be sad all day. It doesn't serve me to be sad all day. I think it's important to grieve, and I'll be grieving probably for years, I imagine. At least that's what everybody tells me. But, you know, having work that you find meaningful and you believe in, having hobbies, having loved ones, something to distract you, exercise is always good. That's what I do. That's what I do on days where I'm feeling particularly sad. I just put my head down and force myself to charge forward and distract myself a little bit.
I've come across some great techniques actually to use in that sad state that I've been using, not religiously, but just when I sense the sadness is taking me down a road that I don't particularly want to go down. And that is EFT. Have you come across EFT? The tapping. And you tap on what's called your meridian points and then talk kindly to yourself, basically saying, you know, I can see your sadness, but I love you anyway. And so it's acknowledging the sadness. And it is really quite amazing. You feel the sadness kind of, rather than be overwhelming, it sort of just comes into its own space, and then you bring it in your heart and it can just disperse then. And I found that really powerful.
Yeah. And if, you know, that's what everyone has to do, is find something that works for them. My daughter loves yoga. You know, some people like to wrap themselves in a prayer shawl and pray, reading a good book that you can get into. Anything that you find is...
My daughter's actually started making clothes and bags under her brother's name. She calls them the House of Murray. And so it's taking those things, and I hate the word positive, can't think of a better one, but a more broadening experience rather than remaining crushed by what's taken place, because we can't change what has taken place.
And I love that she's trying to give meaning to that. You know, we started a nonprofit. That was what gave us meaning. You know, we just said, well, let's try to save others and educate others about what happened to Johnny. So we started Johnny's Ambassadors. And so we're bringing together organizations who are also on the mission of teen substance abuse, mental illness, suicide prevention, and we'll be providing education and programming to parents and teens, doing a webinar series, doing a virtual conference. I'll be speaking, of course, and writing.
Yeah, you know, Laura, we haven't actually introduced that. So let's just go back a little bit and talk some more about, because obviously I've been following you and I know what you've done and everything, but just come back to what the trigger point really was with Johnny, which was the THC in the marijuana, and that you now are seeing that that is causing major problems for many people.
Well, that was the biggest problem with Johnny, was that he smoked marijuana, but we live in Colorado where it's readily available. It was the first state in the U.S. to be legalized in 2014 when he was 14 and started experimenting with marijuana. It's much, much stronger than it was when, you know, 70s and 80s, when most people were smoking grass. The THC content is typically about 2 to 5%. And now they run the marijuana plant through butane and extract the raw THC and then put it in a chemical form, sometimes called wax or shatter or butter. It's no longer a plant. It's not natural, it's a chemical, and they inhale those vapors through a heating element, a rig, or a dab pen, and they're extremely potent, about 90% or higher pure THC combined with the butane. So there are poisons also going into the brain when it's inhaled. But just to give you a sense, if you eat an edible that has marijuana in it, let's say a brownie, let's say a standard serving of a marijuana edible is 10 milligrams, one hit on a THC wax pen is 600 to 800 milligrams of THC. And so it's like crack weed. Dabbing is very dangerous to the developing adolescent mind, and unfortunately causes mental illness, including bipolar, in my son's case, schizophrenia. And he, over years of using this, and of course, we did everything we could, save duct taping him to the wall to keep him from doing this. And we watched him deteriorate and go from a 4.0 GPA student, happy and healthy, to being drug addicted and violent and abusive. And eventually, we had to ask him to leave our home when he turned 18, and he started dealing drugs and getting into a lot of trouble and went off to college. And that was when he first had his first suicide attempt. It just really destroyed his mind. And he started having delusions of the mob being after him and everybody in the whole world knowing about him. He thought his university was actually an FBI base and his phones were bugged, and became very delusional, had a lot of feelings of being persecuted, and sadly refused to take any antipsychotic medications that would help him because he was over 18 and he withdrew our ability to help him. So we were fairly powerless with the medical system over here. We said, you know what, we are not going to let this go by without doing everything in our power to, you know, just educate teens and parents about what this stuff is. And then it's not the weed you smoked in the 70s and 80s. You know, it is a very, very different chemical, and it's not natural. It's not made by God. It's made by a chemist in a lab. And that it is the next pandemic of children having mental illness and committing suicide. It makes you very suicidal. So that's what Johnny's Ambassadors is doing. And, you know, to your point, giving meaning to something really helps you through your grief, finding something like what you're doing, what so many people do to try to help others. And we're just compelled to try to keep Johnny's spirit alive and help him help others and warn them about what it is.
Because it doesn't happen to everybody where you are empowered to make changes or, you know, keep your loved ones alive and to actually do things. Do you have like a spiritual practice or some driving, like a higher power? Do you believe in anything like that to keep you going? Or,
well, we have a very strong Christian faith, and Johnny was baptized and chose to be baptized again when he was 12 and accepted Christ. And we believe that once you have Christ in your heart, he never departs from you. And so, you know, we are certain that Johnny is healed and, you know, that he's in heaven and he's in the Lord's presence. And we believe we'll see him again. And, you know, so that helps quite a bit. I don't know how people can go through this kind of experience really without having belief that you'll see. I mean, it would be so tremendously sad. I mean, so much more horrible than it is without the belief that you'll be reunited, you know, someday. So that really helps. You know, I believe Psalm 34:18 that says the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. So I pray a lot. And, you know, the Lord has really, I believe, made this so incredibly easy. All the people have been in my path. He has just opened the doors, and this has not been difficult at all to do. I've also run 2 for-profit businesses that I still own, so I do understand business, and so that's come naturally for me. But, you know, if that's not something that you're about, then get involved in somebody else's campaign, you know, whether it's Johnny Ambassadors or anybody that has something that resonates with you, anything that you can throw your heart and soul into to give meaning and passion and purpose into your life. I believe that that's the only way I know I'm going to move through this. and get through this journey more quickly.
Well, certainly get through the really hard phase more quickly.
Yes.
Because we don't know what is coming down the road.
I just, you know, I think I'm in a much better place 6 months later than I otherwise would have been had I not have something to believe in and hold on to in faith, but in also in action and something to do that I believe will make a difference in other people's lives. And I think that has been incredibly healing for my husband and I and our board of directors and our family.
Oh, that's brilliant, Laura. I'm going to tell people about Johnny's Ambassadors in a little while, because I know that, you know, we're reaching a point where you've got to go and you've got many things to get on with today. But before you do, when my son died, it was like the previous person who I was also died. And certainly I'm finding myself again. I just wondered, you know, maybe just after 6 months, did I don't even know now, actually, you know, who I am going to be meant to be or who I am. Totally in that confused phase. I just wondered where you were at with that. What changes have you sensed for yourself? You know, before for me, I was like, oh, I've got this happiness thing sewn up. I know this. I was a happiness millionaire. I know this system. I'm fail-proof, you know, or bomb-proof on the happiness front, but clearly not. And I don't feel like that at all anymore. So I just wondered, what changes have you identified of yourself?
Well, you know, it's interesting. Had already been kind of going through a period of nearly, you know, almost 30 years in business, just wondering what the next thing was. Serial entrepreneurs get pretty bored pretty quickly. And I had started another company in 2017, and I'm always thinking about what to do and how to make money. And so, you know, it's just, for me, this was exactly the right thing to do at exactly the right time. Now that I'm 50 years old, I don't really care very much about traveling for work. You know, so all of the virtual things I had already been into, live streaming and using virtual platforms like this, and I want to continue to do that virtually, a webinar series for Johnny's Ambassadors, interviewing experts for doing a parenting series. So in a way, I feel like everything that I had already done in the past 30 years had brought me to this place. It didn't seem odd or unusual or out of place. It all seemed like it was exactly the right timing. And so for me, I just said, well, not exactly what I had in mind, God, but thank you for everything, you know, that I'd done in the past, you know, for just a time as this. So for me, in a weird way, it's been a blessing.
It's just talking about all that, actually. It's when things like that happen, because for me, you know, I've done a speaking career and I've done lots of radio interviews on the BBC broadcast in my area.
That's right. The perfect person to do it.
And so many people have heard me on the radio before. And then suddenly this happens, this idea comes out for the Good Grief Conversation, because I just found people weren't talking about grief and it makes you feel so much more alone. And I thought, well, all my skill set is aligned to this. All my contacts, they just kind of fall on your path as you were just talking about there.
I know how to promote events. I know how to do events. I know how to engage experts. I know how to speak. I know how to do all the educational pieces. And so, yeah, I really just felt like, well, I am the right one to do this, and I can. So that's where I think you end up in your life. I think everything is purposeful. I know God has numbered our days, and he knew exactly when Johnny was going to pass and why, and that he knew that I would do this. And I think that was the plan.
Time to step up. I'm going to tell people about Johnny's Ambassadors. And in fact, I think we've got a few moments. Let's just do this right now. So the Johnny's Ambassadors is, the website is?
Yep, johnnysambassadors.org or stopdabbing.org, stopdabbing.org. I'll go to the same place, but johnnysambassadors.org. There's a place to sign up to be an ambassador if you want to get the message out there and help us to.
And what would an ambassador do?
Well, we have a Facebook page and we just ask them to share. be an ambassador, be a representative of the cause of educating people about this high THC marijuana, understanding what it is yourself, and helping us get the word out so that we don't lose any more young people. We have about 650 ambassadors so far.
Great. So that's at facebook.com/ Johnny's Ambassadors.
That works too. Yes.
And if somebody has a similar experience and they wanted to contact you, how could they contact you?
There's a contact right on that webpage, or they can email me, Laura, L-A-U-R-A, at johnnysambassadors.org. No apostrophe, obviously, in the in Johnny's. They don't allow that in the website.
No. No grammar on the website.
No. But we are sharing stories. We have a memorial wall, sadly, where we honor our loved ones. If you want to add a tribute to your loved one and a photo, we post on their death dates in our community to honor them and to continue to raise awareness about drugs and suicide and mental health issues, and use those lost to help us remember why we're here.
Yeah. And are you going to go in schools and places like that to educate young people? All that's on the horizon.
Our first goal is to raise about $50,000 in funds to create a very innovative online teen learning curriculum around the high THC, so that we can get that into schools, have them taking it with their parents. But yes, I will eventually go out and tell Johnny's story and kick off the series, and they'll start hopefully doing that during access or some other school hours over a period of several weeks. So we're trying to raise funds and looking at grants and corporations and government grants, donations to fund this curriculum. So it's exciting for me. Still running my two other companies and doing this in my spare time, but that's our next goal.
Yes, that's what's keeping you going. Anna, I mean, I've no idea what is happening in the UK with teenage children and this. So anybody in the UK, you know, I'd love to hear from you. I'm sure Laura would love to hear from you. So do drop us a line. I'm Janet at thegoodgriefconversation.com, and I can get messages. But I think this is a very, very important situation. Was it you that was telling me like some teenagers would use the vapors and you can actually put it in the vaping?
Yeah, a lot of teens are doing it right under their parents' nose. You can vape butane hash oil, BHO, very, very toxic, very high concentration. And they just tell their parents it's just a vape pen. And so parents need to understand Juul and vape is nicotine. Dabbing is marijuana. THC, butane hash oil, two very different things. And
that's what you would put in the vapor, is the dabbing would go in the vapor.
Yeah, what they're putting in the pen. It's called dabbing. So they don't even know that their kids are doing it most of the time because they're uneducated and they don't know what's inside the vapor.
So we need to get parents educated. And they can do all that by coming to join you at Johnny's Ambassadors.
Yes, we have a new webinar series that's starting. If you go to the website, johnnysambassadors.org, there's an education menu, and under it is the new expert webinar series for parents. So that starts on June 19th. And so we actually have a chemist coming on. We have an expert in what drugs teens are doing these days. And so those are free, supported by our nonprofit. And so they can register there. And of course, feel free to give a love offering if they're so inclined, but there's no charge for those webinars.
Well, I'm one of your ambassadors, and I shall be sharing and telling people all about that. You know, my son Murray, he did used to vape. And as a parent, I don't actually know what was in it. He would tell me, so, oh, it's spearmint or whatever. But I wouldn't know, wouldn't have a clue.
You wouldn't know. No, and it doesn't have a smell. So it's very difficult to detect.
So we look forward to those webinars and getting educated. This is a very, very serious subject, and it needs to be spoken about.
Thank you, Janet. I appreciate you being an ambassador.
I hate to think of other parents going through what we've gone through. My last question I was going to ask you is, so who now is Laura Stack? I'm actually going to answer that because I think Laura Stack's pretty amazing.
Thank you. Well, always be Johnny's mom.
And it's still about doing what we can for our boys. And you certainly are. Laura, it's been an absolute delight. I've loved our conversation, and I just hope that this reaches people and certainly helps a lot.
Well, with your help, I hope it reaches someone and maybe saves one person. That would be a potentially positive outcome to a really bad situation. But that would...
So we're going to leave this on a high note. We know that there's a challenging path forward, but what would you say about this path moving forward? What's that inspiration that you're going to find somewhere in all of this?
I have just been so inspired by loved ones and friends who come around you. And just to remind people, there are people out there more than you know who want to help, who want to support you, and that you just have to be willing to let them. A lot of times people think with grief that you just want to be left alone, you know, or that you want to be private. And so I would just say, talk about it, bring it out into the light, let people know that you are more than willing to discuss it and appreciate their concern, and that it doesn't upset you when you talk about it, that it's a blessing, and let them be there for you. And they will.
And they certainly will. Laura, it's been a delight. And over the coming months and years, I look forward to getting to know you even better.
Same here. Thanks, Janet.
You take care now.
All righty.
Well, isn't she great? What a powerful conversation. I really hope that everything that Laura is doing can be helpful to other people and just get the knowledge out there. The more we know, the more we understand, the more we can make changes. So if you were touched by that and you would like to support Laura's work, then you can join her over on Facebook at Johnny's Ambassadors. So if you do facebook.com/Johnny's Ambassadors, you'll be able to connect with Laura and find out more about the work that she's doing. And, you know, if you think this is just in America, well, the things that come out of America, they tend to go all around the world. I don't have teenage children at the moment, so I'm not familiar with what is going on in the UK. But please, if you have teenage children, then go and find out what is happening right here, and or whatever country you live in, go and find out what is happening. So that is Laura Stack with her Johnny's Ambassadors. Just Google that and you'll find it. Also, don't forget, if you would like to be a supporter of the Good Grief Conversation, then just go to www.thegoodgriefconversation.com, where you could help us with a little bit of support with the podcast extras. But again, they are free because the most important thing is that they get to help people. But you know, we do need a little bit of support too. So if you can spare the price of a paperback or a hardback, then that would be greatly received. And we will keep up the good work here at the Good Grief Conversation. You will also receive all the gifts and the support from my guests as well. So it's not just a donation, but it is also where you will benefit too. And I appreciate that. It would also be great to get to know you too, so you can email me anytime at janet@thegoodgriefconversation.com. We have more conversations coming up for you. I hope that you will stay with us and follow this conversation, see where it goes, and let me know, you know, how this is helping you. Don't forget, share with friends, tell the world it's time that we got talking about some serious subjects here, because that's the way that we'll find greater happiness and a deeper level of inner peace. I am Janet Jones. I'm your host of the Good Grief Conversation here on UK Health Radio. Don't forget, you can even just ask Alexa to play UK Health Radio. It's that simple. Or you can get the app on your phone, or just go to the website, or you can go to my website and click the Listen Now button. So many ways to tune in. I look forward to speaking to you in our next conversation. In the meantime, you take care now, and I will speak to you soon.